Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ax Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Okay. So we are back, and I want to play another comedy bit, and I want to see what this one is. Okay. I may play two, but let's play this one. It's coming. It's almost there.
Hey, psst. Come here. I got the new Tatooine TV. I see your eyes lighting up. I knew you had discriminating taste. The audio is fantastic. The only problem? There's no video. Well, you want to hear it? Here you go.
Tatooine TV. Hello. The Hoth Acting Conservatory presents Padme and Anakin in A Bedtime Story.
Okay, Luke, Leia, time for bed.
Aww.
Anakin, we need to talk.
Yes, Padme, dear.
Funny. Listen to me. We need to...
Wait a minute. You mean I need to. I learned this on Dr. Phil.
Okay, you need to stop embellishing the stories you tell the kids.
Honey, I stretched the truth a little bit.
Oh, come on. You never taught R2 to speak basic.
Well, I almost did.
Annie, look. I love you, and you're a great dad, but you need to tell the truth to these kids. They'll grow up believing everything you tell them. I just don't want you to get caught in a sticky situation with one of your stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Daddy, read us a story, please.
Please.
Okay, kids, here comes Daddy.
Annie, remember.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've got to tell bedtime stories to our children, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So there I was, faced with 200 Gobons coming toward me with laser whips, and I single-handedly...
Annie?
Okay, your dad and five other old, crippled, far-sighted Jedis ran up to them. I lit my saber and cut 150 in half with one swipe. Okay, it actually took us about 6 hours to wipe them out. Only because they had insta-growback arms and an almost unlimited supply of ammo.
And... Daddy needed a little bit of Yoda's help.
Thank you. Daddy was telling a story here.
Daddy, tell us how you and Mommy met and fell in love.
That love stuff is dumb.
Shut up!
Kids. Well, Mommy met Daddy on Tatooine. He was so cute, but when he said yippee, I almost never forgave him for that.
You never told me that.
Annie, a woman is a garden of secrets. Anyway, Daddy used some "you look like an angel" line on Mommy at Watto's, and he couldn't forget about me for years.
Well, Mommy forgot about Daddy quick and had a lot of boyfriends after that.
Well, when you're a senator at a young age, the comlink does ring a lot.
Okay, okay.
Let's see. There was Yuli, Katar, Travin, Zat. That was Travin's best friend.
Please, the kids don't need to hear all about that. Daddy had girlfriends, too.
Really?
Yes. I didn't wait for you, you know. I had other girlfriends along the way.
Well, do tell, lover boy.
Well, there was Yolop.
Who was that?
You didn't know her. She and I fell hopelessly in love on the planet Gustar.
Was she that blue creature with the three heads in the hologram file?
Yes.
Oh, wow, Annie. Are three heads better than one?
Well, if you didn't like what one head was saying, you could talk to the other one. If only I could do that now with you.
Don't start.
I saw the hologram of you and Obi-Wan at the Tatooine Experience Park.
Annie.
Shh. What?
The kids are asleep.
I had lots of girlfriends.
Yeah, right.
Tatooine TV, Episode 13, is a Jeffroni Designs production. For full credit information, please visit JRD Online.
Okay, and that's a site that doesn't exist anymore, so that's kind of funny.
I forgot I did that.
Yeah. All right, so...
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, let's play Jordan's interview. It's really cool. A lot of great moments, so let's play that now.
Okay, this is Jeff Roney, and I have the extreme pleasure of talking to Jordan on the phone today. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. Now, we're going to be talking about some of the coolest things ever for a oncer. You met some very, very cool people. So let's start with you. If you could describe yourself in 3 to 5 words, what would they be?
Singer.
Okay.
Oncer. Evil Regal.
Cool. You're a busy gal. You got a lot of things going on. You're very talented. So tell me about this trip to Dragon Con.
Okay, well, once upon a time. Just kidding. I posted on Lee Orenberg's Facebook wall, just telling him, like, he's awesome. I miss him on Twitter because he hasn't talked in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded to me a few days before this weekend and asked if I was going to Atlanta. And I remember him tweeting about, like, you know, doing Dragon Con, but I had forgotten when it was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I messaged him privately asking when he would be there, and he responded. And I convinced my dad, I talked him into it, to letting us go. Yeah, it was really all done through Facebook and Twitter.
Cool.
Just communicating with him and Raphael.
We have Comic-Con out here, which is a little different. But what did you think about Dragon Con once you got there?
It's very similar to Comic-Con. I actually asked a volunteer who was working there what the difference was, and he said that the difference was Dragon Con is just bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was still a whole bunch of different shows and things going on with their fans and Trekkies and all of that type stuff.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of costume folks there.
Yes.
Just a lot
everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, that's the one thing is I went to WonderCon in Anaheim, and I did start to notice some Once Upon a Time costumers. Did you see a lot of them there or some?
Not walking around, but once we got into the panel, mm-hmm. we saw a few people dressed up.
It sounds like there was a panel, and then there was also some opportunities to get autographs and meet folks. Is that kind of how it went?
Yes. We actually got there Saturday evening, and everything was closed by then. But I tweeted to Lee that we're finally in Atlanta. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. And he tweeted back to me that I'm looking out for you. So that got me excited.
Cool.
And then Sunday, we didn't have anything to do until 2:30, which was the time for the Once Upon a Time panel. So I saw that Jane Espenson had tweeted that she was there. So I looked her up and went to her panel just to listen to her for her show, Husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my dad, we went in there. We were just sitting, listening. And I turned around to look at a fan who was asking her and the cast a question. And lo and behold, who is just sitting there chilling with his wife? But Raphael Sabarge.
Ah, very cool.
I turned back around. Oh, I was so excited. I was shaking.
Yeah.
And after her panel was over, he waved to Jane and then was kind of rushing out. And my dad and I caught him, and he was so nice to stop and take pictures. And he asked if I was coming to the panel later. I was like, yeah, of course. So that was the first time I met him that day. And we went back inside and got pictures with Jane. What was so funny was when I was getting a picture with her, my dad was taking it with my phone, and I have a Who's the Fairest, One of All, like, phone cover.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, that's what I thought. I'm like, yeah, I just met Raphael. And she was so nice. They were all so sweet.
You know, I think one of the greatest things about Once Upon a Time, as you know, is really it's a who's who of some of the best, you know, the music and the writing and all that. But what I really like about Jane is she does a lot of different projects. It's not just Once Upon a Time. She is doing Husbands, which is doing very well. And it's just really great that she is so diverse. So she seems like a really really nice lady. It sounds like you had a little time to talk about your phone cover, and that's pretty cool. What was her panel kind of just about Husbands, or was there a little bit about Once Upon a Time? Or
no, this one was just about Husbands, but she had done one the previous day. Or Once Upon a Time. But I wasn't able to go to that one.
Okay.
We had a few hours to kill between that meeting and the panel for Once Upon a Time. So we had lunch and then went to the door to where we would go into the Once Upon a Time panel. And I am proud to say that we were the first ones in line. We stood there for an hour and a half.
Very good.
We were very determined. We were the first ones in the room.
Dragon Con, was this your first Dragon Con, by the way?
Yes.
Cool. So now I understand the way you see it, but what was it like for your dad to see all this? It sounds like for the first time.
Well, he understands my fangirling over the show a little bit more now, but he was just like, this is interesting. This is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
These people are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But he was pretty cool about the whole thing.
So you got into the room, and I think the one thing that you kind of mentioned it here, is once you get in a room full of people that are there for just Once Upon a Time, you do start to get an idea of, this is bigger than just me. This is bigger than just a few Twitter followers. This is pretty big. What was the feeling like in that room?
Excitement, kind of unity, knowing that everyone in the room with me loved the show as much as I do.
Were you right at the front or...
Yes, we were sitting front row.
Wow. So
we got to have a lot of eye contact with Raphael and Lee and Tony Amendola, who's also there.
Tell me about the panel. What happened?
Okay. When they first came onto the stage, I got his eye contact and I just waved at him a little bit, and I videotaped the whole thing, and I'm going to upload it as soon as I can.
Cool.
But you can see it if you look really close. He pointed at me and, like, did a little fist and shook his head and just smiled like, yes, you're here. And Raphael looked at my dad and I and smiled, gave us a little nod from how, like, he recognized us from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Fans, of course, got to ask questions. And you and Colleen are big about this. They were very against spoilers because one fan asked how Geppetto and Jiminy would find Pinocchio and as Wood if they did.
Yeah.
And Raphael was so nice. He was like, I would love to tell you, and you're so nice when you ask, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, one quote that they said was on Twitter, and Tumblr and all of those places where people share spoilers. You might make one person happy, but you ruin it for 10,000.
Wow.
And Raphael was like, exactly, don't tell me. It's like the Olympics. Don't tell me she won the gold medal. I want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah.
One question that was very enjoyable for me. They were all asked if they were given the chance to be other characters on the show, which would they be? And they all chose to be Vorns. Lee and Tony said they wanted to be Uncle Silkskin, and Raphael said he wanted to be the Evil Queen. So he doesn't know if he would look good in those outfits, and he doesn't really like to wear heels.
Hmm.
It was so funny because Lee interrupts him like, Raphael, are you trying to tell us something? Oh, they were hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
After the panel was over, they very kindly stopped to take pictures with fans instead of rushing over to another hotel where the booths were set up. And that's where all the celebrities, they give autographs and take pictures, but for a price.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very nice to stop and take pictures with us. And when we saw me, my dad was, he's very formal. He's like, hello, Lee. My name is Ronnie. This is my daughter, Jordan. And by that time, Lee was already giving me a hug. And he was like, are you kidding me? Of course I know this girl. I pay attention. He was so nice.
Yeah.
he's also very, he's a charmer. He's sassy. He called me hot and said my picture on Twitter doesn't do me justice.
He is a charmer. He is a charmer. Dreamy is a charmer.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And he then told me and my dad to come on over to the Hilton, which is where his booth was, so we could chat some more. And I have to be honest, it is so hard to form coherent thoughts when you're meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
I was so starstruck. I was like, okay, I'll come over there. Sure thing.
Yep.
And I'm sure Colleen can understand that if she were ever to meet Robert Carlyle.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I don't think there would be any connected sentences with Colleen. She would start and then not stop. So, yeah. Yep.
And other fans that were there, they were dressed as Uncle Silkskin and Belle and the Blue Fairy, Evil Queen, Snow White, Grumpy. I think there was even a Princess Tiana in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I took a bunch of pictures, so I'll upload them to Twitter for people to see.
Cool.
This opportunity just kind of presented itself, and I told my dad, this is probably the closest they will ever get to the South and to my house, so we have to please go and meet them, or at least try.
Mm-hmm.
And it all worked out.
Because it doesn't sound like it was a quick jaunt. It took a little bit to get there.
It took about 4.5 hours to drive up there.
Yep.
And to drive back. But I don't think that's too far.
No.
Too much time.
No. No, but that is so great that you had the opportunity to meet them. And, I'm really glad that you did, and it also sounds like you at least saw some other fans and
mm-hmm.
cool, and you had a family time, and I think even once upon a time, when you get all the fans together, it was cool to have your dad there to kind of see an extension of. You know what it's all about. You know, it's one thing to talk about it, say, oh, I have friends on Twitter and, you know, different things.
Right.
But it's another thing to say, this is it. I mean, these other people, they enjoy something so much, they dress up. And, you know, it's almost like a football fan, right? Wearing a jersey or something like that. So it is kind of different, but it does kind of fit into people do different things all the time. Is this a one thing that you've really enjoyed the most in your life once upon a time, or have you enjoyed maybe a sports team or something else?
I would would say this has to be number one mm-hmm. of the many things that I enjoy. And it was great having my dad there because he had never seen the show. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't. He hasn't watched an episode yet. But after seeing how Lee and Raphael recognized me and how kind they were to me, almost as if we were old friends, he wants to watch the show now.
Wow.
He wants to watch it with me.
That's really, that's the best. I remember I saw a special a few years back where a father took his son to Comic-Con in San Diego. And the son really wasn't into Star Wars, and the father was. And so the father introduced the son to Star Wars at Comic-Con. And so the son was like, nah, I don't know, I don't care. But then as the weekend went on, the son said, Who's the guy in the black costume? He goes, that's Darth Vader. He goes, I like that guy. And so through that time, it was they shared that together. And so it's really cool that it was kind of the opposite. You got to introduce your dad to the fandom of it. And because of the cast being so kind, which is they're the coolest cast ever. It sounds like you had kind of an opposite moment. And that's incredible. It really is cool.
Oh, yeah. When we went over to the booth to meet Lee and Raphael again, Lee was so kind.
Mm-hmm.
He was so nice. And yeah. When we went over to Raphael, I have a friend here in Alabama who loves Raphael. He's his favorite character. And he didn't get to go because it was his birthday this past weekend, and his parents wouldn't let him. They wanted him home.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought a picture with me for them both to sign for him. And Raphael was so nice. He's like, do you want me to throw in an extra picture for your friend who couldn't be here? I'm like, sure, if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so incredible to meet him again because he remembered me and my dad immediately, meaning he recognized us, he remembered our names, which I think is incredible for meeting someone like first day.
Sure.
You don't remember them. Yeah, they were both very kind. They gave more of themselves than I expected to get.
Mm-hmm.
Told Raphael that this was a unique cast, and he just laughed. And I know some of the cast listens to your show, and if he's listening, I wanted to clarify that this cast is the most generous, kind, and all-around amazing group of people I've ever seen. There is truly no other cast like them. They're all so genuinely loving towards their fans. And Raphael and Lee, they went beyond what I expected.
Hmm.
And just made the experience that much more incredible. And plus, all the actors on the show, they have the right and the talent to be proud and arrogant if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all so humble.
Yeah.
And willing to connect with the fans.
I think the one thing that I've noticed, and I think what you're talking about here is, you know, and I know it's probably happening with other shows or other movies or situations, but I think there are moments that are created when you meet a once upon a time cast member, that it's a moment that you'll never forget. And that's pretty special. It's not just, you know, hey, here, you know, shake my hand or whatever. That they, because of social media, because of the kindness of the cast, and you know, they want to connect and say hi and kind of get to know you more. It's a moment. It's not just a next person in line. And that's really what I'm getting. Yeah, that's what I'm getting from you. And that's what I've experienced, too. So,
yeah, they made the moments with us. They didn't just sign my DVDs from season one that I bought. They didn't just sign that picture. They talked with us. I mean, we talked about Vancouver and the weather up there, and Lee invited me to come up to Vancouver sometime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And during the panel, they talked about baseball and all of that. And Raphael was really impressed when my dad told him, I used to play for the Yankees.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. Very yeah. cool.
Oh, and Lee even gave me advice about becoming a singer and acting and following my dreams. Hmm. He, if I can quote him correctly, he said, to shoot for the moon and you might, no, to shoot for the stars and you might hit the moon.
Hmm.
And to just keep going for them. Keep going for your dreams.
Well, it is, Dreamy should know about dreams. And, you know, we do encourage, you know, dreaming big, working hard, focus, going for it. And, man, you had quite a weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yes. It was amazing meeting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Christmas, I'm going to tell all of my relatives and friends, whoever wants to give me a present, don't give me any presents, just give me cash.
Right.
I'm saving up
yep.
to go up to Steve's and
yep.
try to meet Lana.
Mm-hmm.
And see them again.
Well, I'm putting together some helpful hints, and I'll put it up on the website for folks that are visiting to kind of maximize their once upon a time experience. So I'll make sure that you know where that is. And because
thank you.
Yeah, we want everybody to go. It is the best town. And the best townspeople, the folks that work there, the folks that live there, they are Wuncer friendly, and they mm-hmm. love Wuncers, and you know the cast we know is incredible, but the crew is incredible as well. So, that's where we'll put our wishers for you, is you know, at some point mm-hmm. in the future. To get up there to Vancouver. We wanted to meet Lana. We didn't get a chance to. So, you know, we might have had a better opportunity, but we had to get ready for the podcast. And so she waved at us, and she said hello. And so I said, thank you, Lana. And I think Colleen said she replied back and said, well, thank you. You know, so, mm-hmm. But yeah, so, it's all possible, but it takes money. It takes focus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, determination, still a lot of that. So, I want to thank you for taking your time. You're just so cool. You're so kind on Twitter and, you know, it's funny. People get a little put off by the word evil and evil regals, but I'm telling you, many of the evil regals I've met, including you, are some of the nicest people I've ever known. So I want you to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so I understand. Yeah, I understand the why you like Lana.
Go ahead.
Huh. Oh, no.
Hmm. Okay.
Well.
I don't know.
I'm assuming that was towards the end of the interview.
Yeah, yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Okay.
So, okay. So, sorry, thanks, kids. Jordan, so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of one or two or three more words, and that was it.
Okay.
So, that was really, really cool, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to record that before and play that now.
Yep.
So, excelente.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Marissa, one of the Evil Regals. Just wanted to wish Jeff a very happy birthday, and I hope that he has a wonderful day and that all of his wishes come true. And wanted to wish you guys an incredible trip. And just wanted to say thank you for everything that you guys have done. You have truly helped bring Wuncers from all over the country together, and you're always providing us with such entertaining shows, and you've allowed Paige and I to feel like we're even more part of this amazing once upon a time family. You've given us the opportunity to partake in very interesting projects such as character analysis and actor bios, and we have had the greatest time, and you really have helped bring so many people together, and I just thank you for everything that you do. I look forward to your podcast every week, and I hope, Jeff and Colleen, that you're feeling the love this weekend, as you should always do, and just wanted to say thank you on behalf of Paige and myself. Thank you for everything that you do and for your wonderful podcast. And you guys are the best. Bye. Take care.
Hey, guys. It's Chanel. It's been a crazy summer for me, but you guys sound like you've been having a good time. I want to say happy anniversary to you both. My wedding anniversary is actually this Friday, September 7th. It's just whirlwind right now. I'm working 6 days a week and trying to keep up best I can with the Once Upon a Time info coming out. As I don't have a computer, it's driving me crazy, but I'm hoping to get one soon and be better equipped to be doing my podcast thing with you guys. So, but my main thing was happy anniversary, many years for you guys to come. Big love to everybody. And I hope we all have a good season premiere. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
So let's go through some news items, and then we will we'll see. We may play another comedy bit, and we'll do some quiz stuff, and we'll see.
Yep.
So I want to talk a bit about David Anders.
Yes.
Dr.
Also
Whale.
Also known as Dr. Whale.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He is in a new movie called...
isn't it a scary movie?
Yeah, it's called The Revenant. Revenant. And it's a horror vigilante buddy comedy.
Because those three things go together.
Yeah.
Horror, buddy, and vigilante comedy.
Yeah, and David Anders becomes a zombie.
Oh.
So I'll play the trailer, and it looks like it was a cut in from another show. They do an internet show. Okay. So you hear somebody talking and then the trailer will come on. But okay. I was watching this and I was going, this looks really interesting.
Okay.
So here we go. I don't think there's any cursing in it. I don't remember.
Probably, okay. Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to AC News. Here's today's video clip. Movie news are coming up.
Heroes fall, and sometimes they rise again.
Me, Bart.
You're supposed to be dead.
So I get it. Dude, that's my rug.
You're a revenant. A revenant?
He will need to drink human blood. If he doesn't, his soul will be an eternal
agony. I just want some blood.
Okay. What type?
Just give me some blood, lady. I'll give you a bullet sandwich.
I feel like I've been given a second chance.
Anybody moves, I shoot.
Dude, you got shot a lot.
Convenient mart owner claims that the gunslinger saved his life.
Vigilante gunslinger.
You make me a vampire, right? I mean, like, I'll drink your blood or you drink my blood, you know, whatever we have to do to give me the dark gift.
A dark gift.
Hey, pal.
Vampire superheroes to protect the innocent. How cool is that?
The vigilante gunslinger saved the day again.
your best friend's blood?
Not like that.
The Revenant.
Trouble with the Curve is a new sports drama by...
Okay, so I know that that really was kind of boring because there's a lot of visuals.
It is
kind of bloody.
It is kind of
But it sounded kind of good. But David Anders is the star of this
movie.
Oh,
nice.
So...
Well, that'll be interesting. Do we know when it's coming out or anything like that?
It is coming out... Wow.
We don't know.
I think it was already out in Toronto.
Oh.
I just never...
Maybe it got released early there, and maybe it'll come over here sometime.
It's already out, it would seem.
Okay, then.
So go on and see it however you can.
Yes.
All right. No, but I thought it was kind of funny, and it was kind of like Shaun of the Dead and all that. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Shaun of the Dead was an interesting movie. But yeah. Go ahead.
So we got an email from Ryan, and I just want to kind of talk about this.
Okay.
It referenced something that's on a spoiler site.
Yeah, we're not referencing that.
We don't cover spoilers, so I just kind of thank you. But, you know, those sites really don't kind of back up a theory.
No. Nope.
Because the theories normally that we discuss are things that we kind of, we watch the show and we say, I'll bet it's this based on what I've seen.
Right, from what we've seen.
But, you know, kind of basing it on a spoiler site statement, that's a spoiler.
Right.
So I just kind of want to, anyway, so I kind of want to cover that. So thank you, but it's a spoiler, so we're not going to talk about that because Raphael Sabards said from the stage, we don't want to spoil. Right. There's plenty of sites out there that do talk about that kind of stuff, but we're not going to talk about it here. So, okay. We will continue moving through some news stuff.
Okay.
There was a site called comicbookmovie.com. It was going to recast a Green Lantern with Ian Bailey as Hal Jordan.
Really?
I mean, yeah, there was just kind of like, how can we recast Green Lantern and it's with Ian Bailey instead of Ryan Reynolds?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty decent. Ryan Reynolds, I like Ryan Reynolds. I've always liked Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
But Ian Bailey, I could see that. I could get behind that.
Yep.
I'd rather get in front of him and look at him, but I could
You're
getting
kind of naughty over there with those knit needles.
No,
I'm not. I don't know what's wrong with you.
He's a very handsome young man.
Yes, and I certainly enjoy his acting.
And I enjoyed looking at him.
All right. So
I'm not going to lie about that.
No,
it's the same
I
thing you
say
have for
you
Megan.
Should.
There you go then. No naughtiness. He's okay. Just very, very handsome.
All right.
He's pretty to look at.
I just wish that when, and I know they didn't have like 50 episodes, but I wish that when he opened the case, it would have been empty, and he would have said, "Where did it go?" And then that would have been another twist of they have to find whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it would have been more than a typewriter.
Yeah.
That's all. That's just my thought.
But see, there were so many ways to play that. And I, you know,
true.
If they had played it your way, then we wouldn't be where we are in this story.
Right.
Just what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's why I'm not a writer. I don't get paid to write. I'm just me, just talking.
But you can write some stuff. Your comedy bits have been pretty darn funny.
I think I'll let Adam and Eddie write. I'll let them handle it.
Well, I think they have other writers. And Jane and some other people.
Sure.
But anyway.
I don't think fans should push the writers to write anyway. I think they should just let them do their work.
Sometimes the fans can be inspiring, but sometimes it's like they know where they're going with it. Let them do it. Let them do it.
That's what I think. That's what I think.
Anyway.
All right. So, Amy Acker was at the Toronto International Film Festival on the 7th of September in support of Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing. So,
Yep. Sweet. I love that story. It's a great story.
And Connor.
Shakespeare, you know.
Yes, Shakespeare. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mr. William Shakespeare.
I think we should all talk like, you know, Shakespeare.
Isn't there some Shakespeare Day? You know, like there's National Pirate Day, you talk like a pirate day. I bet there's a Shakespeare Day.
Probably.
I don't know when it is.
I don't know when. Connor Dwelly.
Yes. Moraine.
Moraine.
Mm-hmm.
Is in a new movie with Aaron McCormick.
Okay. Aaron McCormick?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know who Aaron
Will McCormick and Grace.
Is. Eric McCormick.
I got it from the web. They were
okay. Well, that's a big fat lie. He's from Will. If it's for Aaron McCormick, and it doesn't say Will and Grace,
I try to double check. Really good.
Yeah, his name is not Aaron. It's Eric.
All right.
So it's either a typo or there's some other actor.
I will
name.
Send a terse email.
Yeah, it's not Aaron. It's a typo.
So she's in a new movie with Eric McCormick. Aaron maybe is another guy. I don't know.
Well, Aaron, E-R-I-N, would be a girl. Yeah, so well, unless there's an actress named Aaron McCormick, then we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Eek.
We were doing so well, and now it's kind of...
I know.
Yeah, falling
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, this new movie is called Barricade, and it's a thriller.
Ooh.
So Eric is actually busy these days. He's in a new series called Perception. And he has this movie coming out with Connor Dwelly.
Sweet.
All right.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Oh, yeah. Perception is definitely Eric McCormick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then, yeah, there's a major typo. Yep. Major typo. They changed his gender.
Well.
Misspelled his name and changed his gender. That's crazy.
I think it was just a typo.
Yeah, it's a typo.
All right. Emily DeRavin was attending the flagship Emporio Armani opening in New York.
Nice.
On September 7th. And
that was yesterday.
Yep. Yep. So that was cool. And then we've already posted a blog post that Jennifer Morrison, Adam Horowitz, and Eddie Kitsis will be presenting at the 64th Primetime Emmy Awards.
Yay.
On Sunday, September 23rd.
Oh, 1 week before the return of Once Upon a Time, season two.
Yep.
Yay.
All right. And Jesse Schramm is in Falling Skies,
mm-hmm.
as well as a new show called The Last Resort.
Ah, yes.
Which seems pretty interesting. So
yeah, it does look kind of interesting, actually.
Yep. There's a trailer. I'll put a link to it, but it does sound... Pretty interesting.
And apparently that's also filmed in Vancouver.
Hmm.
As are most of the shows these days.
Yeah, lots of pilots are filmed there.
Yep.
And lots of shows.
Yep. And movies.
Yep.
And other stuff.
All right. So there was a website that this really cool website writer person came up with some books for fans of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay.
So, and once it comes up, I will go through them. Okay, so I will just read through the list. Some of them I know, some of them I don't. But I'll put a link so people can look more into it. So, The Book of Lost Things by John Connolly. I've never heard of that book before.
Nope. Nope.
Was one on the list. Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire.
Mm. Which I believe is where the play was based from.
I would throw my hat in the ring with that as well.
If I remember.
Stardust correctly. By Neil Gaiman.
That was a great movie. I liked it. That was really fun.
And, that was adult fiction. This is young adult fiction. Why Wood Dancing by Juliet Marier.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Snow, a retelling of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs by Tracy Lynn.
Mm.
Cinder by Marissa Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she's any relation to Stephanie. A Book of Thousand Days by Shannon Hale.
Okay.
Is another retelling of Grimm's Brothers' Maid Maleen.
Okay.
Briar Rose by Jane Yolen. Cursed Dark as Gold by Elizabeth C. Bunce. It's a retelling of Rumpelstiltskin and the Miller's Daughter. A Beauty by Robin McKinley. And a junior fiction, just in case you want to read junior fiction, Ella Enchanted by Gail Carson.
Which is a Levine. Great movie, too. I liked it. I thought it was cute.
And Inkheart by Cornelia Funke.
Yes,
we've
that is
seen
a fantastic
movie.
I
saw it on
it.
The plane.
Did you really?
Yep.
I thought it was a great movie.
So those are some great books to check out if you're a reader and a Once fan as well. So we have been rewatching the episodes, and I did kind of want to discuss and see what people thought about some of the items. I made a blog post, and I was pretty sure, and I'm convinced now, that the bar in the hunt, the Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and the bar in Dreamy were the same, and they are.
Yay!
Yep. The doorways are rounded. The candles are the same. So it's the same bar. And the only time we see from the outside was the Heart is a Lonely Hunter episode.
Yep.
So also, I wanted to discuss whose heart was in the heart box.
Yeah. We had that conversation.
It wasn't Catherine.
Nope.
So whose heart was it?
It's a good question.
Now, you know, perhaps.
Couldn't be Graham's because she crushed it before that.
Right.
I originally thought for a minute it might be her father's, but then
it was burnt
she
up
threw that
like
well.
A dark curse.
But again, was it burnt up? She threw it into the thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
She threw it into the flame. But strange things happen, you know. So maybe it didn't get burned up. I don't know. Or was it her? No. Because her favorite steed's heart was thrown in the flame, too. So if her father's heart was burned up, then it would have been the steed's, you know, her horse's heart would have been burned.
So Sydney City bribed someone at the hospital, so it was just somebody. Okay.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
But then, was he lying?
Well, possibly.
Because Sydney's not exactly known for telling the truth all the time. So I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible. I'll go with that. It's a very plausible theory. I'm just saying I won't be surprised if it comes out to be something else, somebody else. Be real interesting to see.
Okay. Sarah says maybe a horse's heart or a random heart. All right. Yep. Okay, Sarah Harty, I have a question for you.
Yes, Sarah.
Okay. The rounded tunnel where Emma drove to meet Sydney.
Oh.
Do you know where that is?
It was like under a bridge, sort of.
Right, right.
Do you know the location? Was that Deer Park Lake, maybe? Or somewhere else? Do we know?
One of those locations. Okay.
Somewhere north of Van.
All right. Okay,
somewhere north Vancouver.
I was just wondering.
The other thing we did, which we never really kind of talked about, but remember when August was driving Emma on the motorcycle out to the Lobster Shack place?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the bridge that he drove her over. We went underneath it.
Yep.
It was kind of cool.
I did not. Our quest was a whirlwind.
Oh, dude.
We were moving so fast.
All over the map.
Oh, that's right. We saw the Gotham Steakhouse where
Emma we did.
Came out.
And the bus depot, too.
The bus depot. So, I mean, we
the Gotham
driving
Steakhouse,
by.
Wait, sorry. You know, sorry, I interrupted you. The Gotham Steakhouse is where she came out after her blind date in the pilot and was chasing the guy across the street to his car and knocked his head into the steering wheel, which was pretty awesome.
Yep.
It was really cool. I mean, it's a very unassuming place. Kind of cool looking.
Yeah. Sarah says you can
from
get
the outside, anyway.
You can take a bus or SkyTrain.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, anyway, we've been rewatching the episodes.
We have been.
And Colleen will not let me do the commentaries the first time through.
Nope.
So I've been sneaking when she's not home.
Right.
And listening to the commentaries.
Yeah. Because, look, as wonderful as they are, I'll listen to them or watch them later. I really just want to refresh my memory on what's going on because I think there may be clues to what's coming. And I'm watching them intently for clues of things that, you know, maybe not clues so much about season two, but clues that if we had paid more attention, we would have picked up on stuff. Although I was pretty right on spot on with most of my theories.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, if they continue to kind of use that same method, we'll be able to do the same thing for season two and have better, more, and I'll have more spot on theories.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
So one of the things that I thought was really interesting is I remember the whole bottle thing with Jiminy Cricket, with Jiminy Rumpelstiltskin and the parents.
Yep.
And that whole kind of a thing. And I remember the old switcheroo that the father or mother did, whoever.
Father.
And the Martin. He said, well, rainwater won't hurt too much. And it kind of caught my brain. I remember that when Snow went to go see Rumpelstiltskin to get the potion to forget love, or Prince Charming's love, that he kind of reached down into the pond and got some water. And I looked at the little bottle, and I said, you know what? Not only does that look like the bottle, but it's almost like a very, either Jiminy's parents learned from Rumpelstiltskin that whole trick of you just get water, or maybe not. Maybe they came upon it in a different way. I mean, we know that Jiminy's parents were shysters. You know that. But I just that whole act, I said, man, because I keep coming back to Rumpel started it all. Mm-hmm. Rumpel taught everybody all this stuff. And maybe Rumpel taught, you know, his parents a lot of what they did so that they could support themselves. But maybe they traded, not on what they traded. But anyway.
Well, and there has to be something, some relationship of sorts going on because in that episode we saw Jiminy go take money to Rumpel along with, or goods, whatever they were, along with the names of the people that they belong to, the possessions.
Right.
So there's a reason why, so I'm very curious to know what prompted that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he have to do that?
You had a very interesting real life way that people that you were talking to someone that you knew that was an interior decorator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which kind of to me showed the trick that these mind magicians use. Hand me something from your wallet or whatever. So talk about that.
So when I was in college, I was switching majors because I was not wanting to do English anymore. And I was going to go into interior design because I was in a creative hippie phase. I don't know. And I asked my interior design, one of my teachers, I said, hey, how do you know how to decorate for somebody else? I mean, I know what I like, so I know I can decorate beautifully for myself, but how do you know what to do for somebody else? And he said, I always ask my clients to show me their three favorite pieces of jewelry because that'll kind of tell you what their style is like. And I said, really? And he said, sure. Are you wearing yours? And I said, actually, I am. And I think I had pearl earrings, a small little gold ring that had a little tiny diamond on it. It was very simple, very understated. And I think I had an emerald ring on that was just another simple little emerald ring. And he said, I can tell that you like a classic style, but you also like vintage because your earrings kind of are, notorious 50s, decor for a woman, accessories for a woman. And so you probably like some antiques, but you have a little bit of the flair for a little bit of the modern, and you probably will be a more classic, very understated, nothing gaudy. You're not going to be interested in, over-the-top decorations. And it was spot on. And I thought, that's crazy, but it's true. I think if you start looking at people's, favorite things that they're, possessions, and typically jewelry is a good one, you'll see what their personality is like. So I kind of think that's how Rumpel played it. Rumpel knows what people's favorite possessions are, and therefore he kind of has a sense of, okay, what's their most prized possession? This is how they're going to behave then. And that's how he knows how to manipulate people. That's just my theory.
Okay. I think it's a great theory. So another thing I noticed too is that the bag that Snow had that she took out from her little tree cave hole, whatever it was.
Right. Her satchel.
And she put it over her shoulder was not the same, but it it was the same making as the bag that Dreamy used when he left the Brotherhood. Because it was, you know, leather. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of a bottom section that was about, I don't know, 5 inches around.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I just, you know, so the more you watch these episodes kind of together in a row, you start to see more and more connections between just the stuff that they use and the people that they hang around. And it's just, you'll see it more and more and more.
Yeah, so I picked up a lot in, you know, dialogue, and I can't think specifically off the top of my head, but there was certain things like, there was one line, and it was Rumpel, and it was something about literal. Oh, it was when they were Heart is a Lonely Hunter, not literal wolves, or,
right.
You know what I mean? And that, which I thought, or he did say there were literal wolves, or, bottom line is, he was talking to the huntsman, and I thought it was interesting, because then you know he was in his head, probably referring to Ruby.
Yeah. So we're coming up to top of the hour, and I want to say this, and I know that, you know, there's been some kind of things mentioned here and there, and this and that, but I want to talk about one of the core things about what our podcast is. It's not an official college course where we specifically discuss certain things down to the T. The core of what it is fans coming together to enjoy a show. And, you know, there are all kinds of different fans. They like all kinds of different things. But the core of what this show is Big Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the slogan.
Yep.
And the idea from that, and I mentioned it before when Rhett from the last meetup we went, he said, well, why do you say Big Love? You know, is it because of the show that Jenny was in? I said, no. You know, Big Love is just the idea that that's what you want to pass on. That love is so big that you can't handle it all. And you shouldn't. And you should pass it on. I saw Big Love in action.
Yep.
In Steveston.
Yeah.
It was so cool talking to Kate at the ice cream shop, because we were kind of sharing what our ideas were for some special thing,
right,
for listeners of the show, and you know, she said, "Can I hug you?"
Yeah,
and she got it. See,
yeah,
she understood it, and that's what I'm saying is, this whole thing that we're a part of, the fandom and this podcast and the things that really are kind of going out from here is really all about, you know, giving big love and passing it on and paying it forward and all this kind of stuff. It's a lot more than getting the right theory or getting the right thing in a background shot. Or knowing who or not was the huntsman. It's bigger than that.
Right.
You know, what's really cool is fans have listened to this show and really enjoy this show and become a part of this show that really have never had a fan family before. We need to cherish this. We need to cherish the cast. We need to cherish the interactions with the cast. We need to cherish the interactions between the fans.
Yep.
This could end any time.
Yeah.
And we need to really, really, really cherish it. And I know I'm kind of stepping around a lot of different things, and I know I'm not saying something, but I'm saying something else. But I've said what I really need to say, is this is special. All of us together in this huge social media world that we love once upon a time, it's special, and we need to really cherish it and take care of each other and respect. And that's what I want to say.
Yep.
So, it sounds goofy, but, I love all of you. I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a rough week for me. I've had different drama from all kind of different sides,
yeah.
Including sides that have nothing to do with the show.
Yep.
But it's been rough. But, you know, I want you to know that Big love is real. I've seen it. I've seen what it can do, and it's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. It is indeed.
I want you to have a great weekend, and you know, the hiatus is heck. It's not easy, you know. And I know we did a lot of different things. I want to thank Jordan for her time, for that great interview. It was so great. I remember, you know, when we were talking about it, and we hit the point about talking about her dad watching the show, and I said, "Ah, that's a great moment." You know, it was just so good talking about the cast and everything. It was just so cool. So, make it a great week. Be kind, be cool, and we will not be having a show next weekend because it's going to be the meetup.
Right.
Sorry for all of you who can't make it. But that's why I really want to send out the big love listener packs to you so that you can be a part of it, too, so that you don't feel left out.
Check Twitter during the weekend, though, because you might see some stuff.
So if you do not have a big love listener pack, please send me either a direct message or an email of an address that you can get mail. And I will send one to you. It's not going to be till after the meetup because that's where... I'm focused on that for the next, you know, whatever, however many days. So thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon, guys. Okay?
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.